Welcome to the 117th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. Welcome. I hope you had a good week. I'm back on the bike. We did a training ride, fun run. It's called Sharky's Ride for Cancer last weekend. Did 35 miles on my road bike, so I felt pretty good. I think there was about 1,000 people riding, just a fun ride out to a place called Inglewood Beach and back. So that was nice. They had food afterwards, and they actually had some rice and beans, which are great, and a big fruit bowl. So that was nice. You know, then they had the other stuff. But, you know, it's good that they had some plant-based offerings. So I got filled up, and so that was really good. I also did another ride on my trainer with the Zwift program. That's kind of fun. Did some climbing. So my plan is, since we live in flat Florida, is to do some hilly courses with this online program that will give you hills to climb and increases your wattage. And so hopefully that'll be good training. I've been running and feeling pretty good. Dogs have been running with me. We're doing two at a time now. I used to take one and then come back and get the other, but they actually do better together and enjoy running side by side or one in front of the other. So I run with them, and then I come back, and I've been adding some hills and speed work on the end. So I'll do it on the treadmill. Again, it's the only place we have hills around Florida for the most part without driving. So I'll do some hill intervals and some short speed work. So the idea is to get a little stronger, get a little bit more in hill shape, because the next event, or I guess the A race, will be the Chattanooga Ironman race in September. It's a very hilly run, pretty hilly bike, so got to get in shape for that. And I've got to get back to the pool, so that's going to be the next step, is to get back swimming. Still gardening here down in Florida. We're having some Brussels sprouts are coming to the end. I found out that if you've ever grown Brussels sprouts or seen them, the leaves are actually edible. You can steam them like you would spinach. And the top, when it comes, it kind of literally comes to a head. So there's a giant Brussels sprout on top with all the little Brussels sprouts on the stalk. And you can actually eat that too. It's like a little head of cabbage on top. So that's pretty cool. Got some tomatoes going. Basil plants are going. Sweet potatoes seem to be, you can't get rid of them. I put some tomato plants in my sweet potato bed and thought I'd get all the sweet potatoes out. And the sweet potatoes are popping up again. So I transplanted those to another bed. Which is good. Beans are up. Jicama is up. We finally had a rain down here in Florida, and everything loved it. So collards and cucumbers are coming up. Even had some blossoms on the Barbados cherry tree. We have four mangoes hanging on our little tree, so that's exciting. I got the beginning of a dragon fruit starting, so life in the garden looks pretty good right now. So it's just a matter of keeping everything going. It seems like they like God's rain a whole lot better than they like the sprinklers. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more of that here in Florida and get things going. I had a really nice surprise this weekend. The office, a patient came in and brought me a bag of homegrown onions and a big plate of tomatoes and peppers and some herbs. There was some chives and basil and a rose. And the reason why he brought it was he was officially off his diabetic medication, and his primary care officially deemed him diabetes free. So that was exciting for us. And I'm very appreciative that he brought the vegetables in. It was a great surprise, and I posted it on Facebook and Instagram for people to see. They're beautiful, beautiful. We need to pay more attention on how to be healthy as opposed to what to do when we're sick. You know, right now, the way the healthcare system is people are just becoming more and more sick, and we're trying to find ways to pay for these illnesses. And in the reality, I think insurance was meant to take care of some catastrophic event, whether it was an unforeseen accident or perhaps a cancer or the big heart attack or the big hospitalization, but not for everyday care, and certainly not for these lifestyle diseases that are becoming rampant. you know, the cure to this and this, you know, and the answer to all this money problems that we're having with healthcare costs is basically nutrition. We need to shift our focus from, you know, who pays for when things are broken to how to prevent people from breaking. And, you know, diabetes is one of the easiest examples. It's actually the easiest one to fix, really. 29 million Americans have adult onset diabetes, meaning that they're putting out a lot of insulin, and the fat is blocking the uptake of insulin and blocking the insulin receptors so that people have high glucoses and high sugars. And it typically occurs in adults, but now it's occurring in children. There are actually 86 million Americans that have pre-diabetes, 1.7 million Americans that are 20 years of older with diabetes. This used to be a disease when people got to be 55 or 60, it would start to manifest. Now it's manifesting in children. And nobody's talking about it. We're arguing back and forth who should pay for what, but nobody's talking about this. You know, this is an epidemic that's going on. And even if they're at this stage in game, if whatever policy, whether we did Obamacare or Trump's policy, it's still not going to change and fix people. So it really doesn't matter. The cure is within everyone's grasp. There's not one person who cannot afford to cure their diabetes. And it can be very simple. It can be very simple with oatmeal, beans, rice, fresh vegetables. It's so much cheaper than medication and all the side effect and running to the doctor and just the test strips alone. Testing diabetes is extremely expensive. So we need to focus on that change. And you know, the secondary complications of diabetes, heart disease, vascular disease, blindness, kidney disease. It's just amazing the impact we can make with nutrition changes. In the last 4 to 6 months, I have had 4 patients completely reverse their diabetes through nutrition. It hasn't been dabbling in changing their nutrition. It has been aggressive change in their nutrition. And it really starts with not going out to eat and not eating fast food and not eating prepared foods. Like the patient that brought me the vegetables, they're cooking at home. They're eating fresh fruits and vegetables and whole grain. It's not, you know, I'm just going to cut back. It's not, we're going to cut out a little bit. We need to get back to basics, and people need to really get serious. I listened to other podcasts when I'm working out or driving, and I was actually listening to a podcast with Dorian Yates. And for you older people out there, you may know that Dorian Yates was a multi-time Mr. Olympian bodybuilder. And the podcast interview was, you know, what about his training? And he talked about, you know, going to max on his training. So if you've lifted weights, basically going to max is lifting, you know, to the point where you can't get that last rep up without a little bit of help. And he talked about that if you can't, if you don't go to max, his belief is that, you know, and you're not breaking muscle down and then allowing your body to heal, you're not growing. You're just doing the same thing over and over. So if you lift the same 10-pound weight 10 times, you know, 3 times a week and nothing gets sore and you keep doing the same exercises the same way, nothing will ever change. You won't be growing. You might not be regressing, but you're not going to be growing and you're not going to be getting any better. And at first, this hit me on several ways. It hit me from a personal standpoint as far as my training goes, and it also hit me with regards to nutrition. And since we're on the nutrition side of things right now, well, you know, it's the same way. If we don't focus on going to max with the change in our diets, going to whole plants, foods, you know, not processed things, so vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and really focusing on what we eat as a means to heal ourselves, then you're really never going to achieve that diabetes reversal. It's not for dabbling. On the other hand, there's great gains to be made, you know, and you don't have to get sore in the process. You're just going to feel better and better as you start to make the change. From a personal end of it, you know, I started thinking about my own training, and I argue with my daughter, you know, when I do my strength training a little bit, because I don't want to get too sore, because I don't want to get sore for running or biking. I'm afraid to get injured. So it's like, well, I don't want to be that aggressive with my weightlifting. I want to get stronger, but I don't want to push it that hard. And, you know, I have to admit, if she's listening, you know, she is right. And certainly my son-in-law, the strength and conditioning, which I think this is probably coming through as well, is right that, you know, I need to buck up, so to speak, and get a little sore so that I can actually increase my strength and not dance around the weight room and just go through the motions so that I actually can improve. So that will be a goal of mine, is to push, you know, my weights, not to the point where obviously I don't have any, I'm usually lift alone, so I'm not going to push till the weight falls on my head and I have to crawl from underneath of it, but I need to push more to become a little bit more sore and not be worried with it so that I can grow in strength training. And maybe it'll be in every other week that I push harder, maybe I'll work into it a little bit, but the reality of it is I need to focus more on pushing and taking it one step further and going into my uncomfort zone. Because we all know we learn the best and we progress the most when we go into our that uncomfortable zone, just a little bit further than you're comfortable with, just a little bit further than you're sure you can handle. We all accomplish more. So that'll be my goal with the weight training and, you know, also with my running. As far as when I do speed work or hill work, I'll push it to the point where I'm really feeling it, as opposed to, you know, this gentle, I'm doing some speed training and some hill work, but not pushing it to what I, you know, call the extreme. I still don't want to get injured, because to me, there's nothing worse than laying off and having to be sidelined. So you have to use your head a little bit. And the other aspect of that, which makes the training so difficult, is when you're training multi-sport, it's hard to figure out the recovery days. To grow, you need to push yourself and then to have rest days, because you actually rest, you actually improve when you're regenerating and allowing your muscles to heal. So it's a little bit of a delicate balance on how much you can push and allowing yourself to heal and what, sports you're doing. But, so that's kind of be the next goal for me as far as my own personal training, is to try to figure out that so I can push myself a little bit more yet. I was also listening to some of the Food Revolution broadcast, and there was a physician talking about how he believed that diabetes was largely a result of fructose. And because the liver, the fructose is primarily metabolized in the liver, where glucose is metabolized in the muscle. And he was mainly referring to high fructose corn syrup, not fructose as in fruit, because there's plenty of research out there that looks at eating whole fruit. It does not worsen diabetes control. It actually improves diabetes. It actually decreases cholesterol, decreases blood pressure. It's not the reason for diabetes, and it's not the reason for people becoming overweight, just to clarify that. But this high fructose corn syrup, you know, it is a subsidized processed corn product. And it is in everything. It is in candy. It's in soda. It's in yogurt that people think is healthy all the time. They're so proud to tell me they're eating yogurt. It's in salad dressings, TV dinners, frozen pizza, breads, canned fruit, juices, any kind of boxed dinners, granola bars, which again are people think are healthy, breakfast cereals that line the shelves of the store, baked goods, processed foods that are, pretend snack or processed snack foods, crackers, cookies, cereal bars, nutrition bars, coffee creamer, sports drinks, jelly, and ice cream, just to name a few of the things that high fructose corn syrup is in, which it was not in the 70s and 80s. So this does contribute significantly to the increased caloric intake that we as Americans take in, because if you're eating these things, you're getting these extra calories. Besides, all these processed foods also have palm oil and safflower oil and all different kinds of oil in them to keep them moist and you know, provide this taste that everybody's craving. So these products are extremely high calorie. So I do think this is a problem, and especially in children, because if you start looking at this list, it's largely what American children eat. They're given yogurt, these squeeze yogurts that parents think that are healthy. You know, they put pictures of fruit on the outside, so they think that there's fruit in them. But again, there's all these other additives in these things, not to mention the dairy part that's bad. But, you know, and candies and canned fruit, these little snack pack fruits that I have patients tell me that they list that as one of their fruits. It is not fruit if you're eating it out of a plastic container, as far as I'm concerned. You know, granola bars, breakfast bars, all these things that, you know, they bring to soccer meets. So kids are getting a tremendous amount of high fructose corn syrup, but they're also getting a tremendous amount of fat from these other things and the processed oils that go along with it. So it's hard to tease that out, and you have to look at Colin Campbell's message when he talks about food being a symphony. So whether it's good things like apple being a symphony of antioxidants and vitamins and minerals and that go all together for you to absorb and become healthy from, the same way goes with junk food or processed food, if you don't look at it as junk food, that it has a symphony of bad things that all get together to cause problems. And so I don't think we need to argue about which food is the worst food, but it's certainly, you know, it's processed food. And again, getting back to basics is what's going to turn our health around as a country. And, you know, even if there was some law that said, okay, we have to get rid of high fructose corn syrup, you know, industry is going to find some way to market something, just like they have with gluten-free. You know, people say, oh, it's gluten-free, and they don't even know what it means. Gluten-free usually means we're going to put extra sugar and extra eggs and extra oil in this to make it stick together and taste good. If you really wanted to eat gluten-free, just don't eat gluten-containing grains. Go back to the ancient grains, but don't go to processed stuff that are pretend, you know, pretend gluten-free cookies are not health foods. Just like, you know, back in the day when they started with Snackwell fat-free cookies, they were taught as being, well, they're good for you because they're fat-free. They're not. They're marketed. Our mindset needs to change, you know. In the past, you know, you give a kid a cookie when they did well. You get candy for good occasions. We reward with these bad foods. We're all guilty of it at one point. And we need to become more aware that if we don't expose our children and don't use this as a reward and don't put such high value on these things, that it, you know, it'll be less, you know, we will be less addicted to these things. Kids, you know, we're buying the foods, they're being marketed to, but we're caving in and buying these foods for kids when we need to educate our children, just like you educate them right and wrong when it comes to their behavior, that these foods are not right, and explain to them why and educate them that this is, we don't eat these things because they're not nutritious and because they cause us to be ill. It's not a penalty that we're giving our children fresh fruits and vegetables. It needs to be emphasized that this is making you big and strong, and this is what's going to make you more athletic or a better dancer or smarter in school, which it is, as opposed to, you know, if you do this, I'll give you this junk food. I had the pleasure of speaking for the Healthspan Foundation today, which is a foundation that encourages healthy living through plant-based nutrition, exercise, and mindfulness for their employees. And, you know, my hat's off to this particular corporation, and I'm not going to use their name because I didn't ask for permission, but they do high-risk jobs. They're in engineering projects, and the company is solely behind their employees they treat them as family. They want them to be healthy. They want them to be safe. They want them to represent the company values. And so they had this retreat, and I spoke of plant-based nutrition. And a lot of the problem for these guys is they're going into remote areas where there's not a lot of food choices. So they've been working hard, physical jobs, they're tired, and there's not a lot of access to even grocery stores in some instances. So we talked about how they might get lunch, prepare lunch, how they might you know, help educate their team members on eating more healthy. And there were some funny things that happened. One of the guys said it was the worst day of his life when I started talking about plant-based nutrition and, you know, everything that's wrong with meat and dairy. And, you know, he did it in jest, but he really, you know, he saw the relevance of it, and he realized that he was going to have to change and that he wanted to change. You know, a lot of these guys are already starting in their early 40s to have some health issues, as all the rest of Americans are, so some high blood pressure, some gout. And they don't want to take medications, and they don't want to have to be dependent on them, and they need to be mobile. And I watched a yoga session that they did as far as the retreat. And, you know, even again, these young guys, there were mobility issues, just like there are in all of us, because, you know, as we age. And so they're starting to pay attention to those and to improve those, you know, areas of their life. So I think it's fantastic that this company is behind keeping their employees healthy. And you know, not just for the sake of lowering their insurance costs, but as an outreach to treat their employees like they would want their family to be treated, and they want their employees to be healthy. The other thing, you know, so we talked about, you know, the baked potato. So one of my favorite lunches is just microwaving spinach with a baked potato and fresh salsa. It's a really easy lunch. You know, so certainly if they could find a grocery store that had potatoes, or they could carry salsa. There was a guy interviewed back several podcasts ago that was a long distance trucker. And he had an Instapot where he would boil potatoes as he was driving with the Instapot plugged into the cigarette lighter outlet in his truck. And so by the time he was ready for lunch, he would actually have a whole Instapot. He would have the potatoes to snack on. He would also cook his meals in the Instapot, and he could just clean it out as a truck stop. So those weren't, the, you know, an Instapot wouldn't be a bad thing to have, you know, if you were traveling, especially if you were, could drive and you had a big vehicle, you could take that with you and have it in a hotel room. They certainly make the small crock pots that, you know, people can plug in and have some more meals or have some soup in if, you know, need be. But, you know, again, that takes a little bit of doing when, you know, you're traveling and you're working a hard physical job. So, you know, the potatoes, even the cans of beans, you know, to carry those in the truck. So beans and salsa and microwavable, you know, vegetables and you know, in plastic, you can carry those with you, are a good alternative. One of the guys talked about, you know, having a bag of vegetables in his truck that he would carry with him, you know, having a bag of fruit, whether the cuties or the apples, or the cuties are the little oranges or apples, or, you know, some fruit, grapes that you can transport easily in a vehicle. That's another good way to be able to carry things with you in a truck. The guys shared that he went to a barbecue place with his pals, and he, you know, he ordered the green beans and the potatoes and the beans. He wanted the ribs, but he knew that that wasn't going to be good for him or make him feel good the next day, so he stayed away from it. So they're already starting to think, you know, in terms of how they can, you know, change what they order when they're in locations that aren't necessarily vegan friendly. They gave out cookbooks, the Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease cookbooks, so they could have it when they're at home to learn to prepare some of these things with their families and to help educate their kids. Because, you know, the more you do it at home, the easier it is to do it when you're out. If you're really comfortable eating at home and knowing what to eat, then you like the taste of it, and you're less likely to get into trouble and fall off the wagon, I think, when you're traveling. Back to marketing makes it very difficult. I was watching a commercial while I was on the treadmill, and they advertised Jimmy Dean sausage. It has 17 grams of protein. And so that was, again, marketed as a good thing. But, you know, on the other hand, there are a couple grams of protein in a cup of berries. There's 6 to 8 grams of protein in just a cup of oatmeal. There's another 3 or 4 grams, an eighth a cup of walnut. There's a couple grams of protein in some flaxseed when you add that to your oatmeal. If you put a little almond milk, that's a couple more grams of protein. So you've got fiber and nutrients and the same amount of protein without the free radicals, fat, and diabetes-causing products in the, oh, and don't forget about the cancer-causing products in the sausage. So, you know, again, marketing is very difficult when you start watching TV, because it's like, oh, well, maybe that's not such a bad food. The other thing that I keep seeing, and I've actually been asked, is, you know, what about bananas? I've heard that they make you fat, and this all stems from a trainer for, you know, the movie star fitness guy, and he told them not to eat bananas because they're not as healthy as and they're more calorie dense and than other fruits. You know, a banana is not going to want to make, it's not what makes people fat. There's fiber in a banana. There's potassium in bananas. It's, they're actually 45th on the list of potassium, or down there pretty far as far as fruits and vegetables. But they have plenty of potassium. They have a lot of antioxidants. They're a great food for people to eat, you know. So don't worry about eating or being afraid of bananas. So put that banana with your blueberries and your oatmeal and your walnut and your flaxseed in the morning, and you'll have a very nutritious breakfast. And I think it's very important to eat your breakfast and not drink your breakfast for the most part, especially if it involves protein powders or vegetable powders. You know, we as Americans like to eat. That's why there's such a problem. You know, we're always looking for different things to eat. So why do we try to do protein powders or vegetable powders instead of eating the real vegetables? You eliminate the fiber, you eliminate the nutrients if you're doing these powders. So enjoy your food, eat the real thing, and don't buy these. These powders are like $40, $50 a jug for them. You know, so you can buy a lot of fruits and vegetables for these the amount of money that you spend on these protein powders. You know, so eat your calories, eat the whole food so that you can actually feel full when you're finished, as opposed to, you know, trying to cram in nutritious drinks and then you're hungry about an hour later and trying to figure out how not to eat something that usually results in a snack that's one of these granola bars like we talked about before with all these bad things in them. There's a quote I also heard from Colin Greening. And he says basically that he is the CEO of his body, and he decides what goes on in it. And so, you know, I think that's a really good thing to remember, is that you are in control of how your body functions. You are in control of your health. So if your body, if act is your company, it's going to either succeed or fail based on how you treat it and how you take care of it and what you fuel it with. If you're hiring junk food to run your body company, then chances are it's not going to be very successful. So if you think about it that way, then it may be hard, it may be a little bit easier for you to make some good decisions. I was emailed a question this week about cholesterol. A person had been a somewhat of a junk food vegan and then got on the McDougall program. John McDougall, if you haven't read his books, they're wonderful. Talk about the starch solutionist one, and they're whole food plant-based, but he reassures people that, you know, they can have potatoes and whole grains without getting sick and actually, you know, reversing their diabetes. But anyway, this person is worried about their cholesterol still being over 200 and their LDL being 110. And they were told that their ratio is good, their HDL or the good cholesterol is really good at 80. And so is there a worry? First of all, the HDL, which is the good cholesterol, is the the lipoprotein molecule that actually takes cholesterol from the body and brings it back to the liver to be disposed of. If you have a lot of cholesterol, then you can have a lot of HDL. It's like it's like a garbage truck. So if you have a lot of garbage, you need a lot of garbage trucks. And that actually countries that have very low cholesterol that eat a plant food diet have low HDL and they have low total cholesterol because they don't need a lot of HDL to get rid of their cholesterol that they don't have. So it's really in the form of excess cholesterol that you get more HDL. And as far as the ratio goes, it's not that important. It's you know, again, one of those things that we can make ourselves feel better with math. But we want to get that total cholesterol and the LDL as low as we possibly can. That said, there are some people that make more cholesterol than others. You can take plant fat and make cholesterol. So that's the first place to look. So if you're getting hidden oils in things like spaghetti sauces or hidden in these health food bars, granola bars and things like that may be vegan, that may be a big source of oil, or in nut butters that have extra added oil to them. That may be a source for your cholesterol being elevated still. But if you've done the best that you very can and your cholesterol is still in that 200 range, you don't have to worry if you're not generating free radicals and from oxidizing animal protein and animal fat and meat. You're not making that LDL, that bad cholesterol, so that it's able to get under that endothelial cell lining and cause harm. So you have LDL, but it's not going to be, it's like having a grenade, but not pulling the pin. So you have the grenades around, but as long as you don't pull the pin, they're not really dangerous. But you do need to, you know, keep a dietary history for, you know, a couple of weeks so that you can see what you might be getting into. Often when I take a dietary history of my patients, you know, it comes down to, well, I had this, but I don't usually do that very often. And then there'll be something else, but they don't really do that very often. And so there's a lot of things that creep in over the course of a couple of weeks. And so if you can just write down everything that you ingest or pick up or take a bite of, you know, keep either put it on your phone, and keep track of it, whether you grabbed a piece of this at desk of your secretary, or somebody brought this in, or you went out to lunch and you had this, and see how often that happens for the next 2 weeks, and you can really get an idea of why your cholesterol might not be coming down, or why your weight might not, you know, possibly be coming down. It can be very eye-opening because there's usually something there. It's like, oh, I didn't realize I started getting into this, or I thought that might have been healthy. And sometimes you're just really fooled that the oil that are in things that you just never realized. I received another question about someone having sinus issues and asthma, and they struggle a little bit because they're trying to be plant-based, but the rest of their family eats a standard American diet. And these allergies have begun, the sinus problems have become very bad, and they're having a cough. They've had to have inhalers. Can plant-based nutrition actually help all that? And it's amazing that asthma, even if you've had asthma for years and years and years, it can actually go away when you start eating a whole food plant-based diet. And the biggest thing is the dairy. The dairy is so inflammatory to the sinuses and the mucus production. So if you can get rid of the dairy, you can really change that, you know, the quickest, though you'll make the biggest impact the quickest by eliminating dairy. Now, that said, that's very difficult because you have to really watch, right? It's the yogurts, it's the cheeses that, you know, are put on everything, that are in part of things, the butters. So, really pay attention because that can be the biggest, bang for your buck very quickly when it comes to asthma and sinus problems, and you really can get relief. You know, down here in Florida, this time of year, it's really, really dry, and we have a lot of things blooming, and there's a lot of pollen and dust, and, you know, you can get irritated your sinus, you know, you can get irritated and congestion from time to time, and people can have some problems. The other thing you can do that's a quick solution is to, you know, gargle with salt water and do a little bit of a salt water inhalation type of thing, and that'll really clear things out. There's been a couple studies published looking at decreasing the incidence of viral infections and secondary infections by just gargling some salt water. So, you know, a teaspoon of salt and some water, gargle it and, you know, rinse out, don't swallow it. Can do a lot to help clear that out. And the other thing I like to do when that starts to bother me, and, you know, we were out doing bushes and clearing things out, and I kind of got congested over the next couple of days, but I really start pushing the fluids then as far as, you know, making sure I'm drinking water. I do drink some kombucha, you know, and I do some green smoothies, increase my fruit consumption, but just increase the fluid consumption overall goes a long way to help that and get that better and get things cleared out. So you get a lot of benefit from a whole food plant-based diet when it comes to allergies, because again, you know, you want to get your immune system settled down and get these macrophages settled down and clear things out. So you got to take the damaging things away and let your body heal itself, and it will. We had nutrition class graduation this week. We always do a final exam, you know, of how to prepare to go out into the world. Where do you get your protein? Do you get enough calcium? Where do you get your omega-3s? And everybody did really well. How do you make nitric oxide with those greens? And we also have dessert. And so I did the Joel Fuhrman's healthy chocolate cake, and then I did from the Minimalist Baker black bean brownie bites. I left out the oil. Again, when you look at recipes online, if they have any oil in it, just leave them out. You can use a banana. You can use some applesauce. And one other trick of the trade, I was making the healthy chocolate cake, and it called for applesauce. And I didn't have any applesauce, and I didn't want to take the time to make applesauce with apples that I had. So I actually keep some Clif products that are, beets, organic beets and banana puree. So I used one of those in the healthy chocolate cake, and it worked fine. So if you're a cyclist and you keep some of the Clif products, and you can also use those, the organic baby food, apple sauce in a squeeze, if you keep those around, those work. Baby food prunes work as well. So those are good things to have around in case you run out of applesauce, you can always grab. So that was good. One of the students brought in fruit ice cream. So basically made out of fruit puree with some cacao powder, which was really, really good. She also brought in some date balls made with dates and cacao powder. So that was really, really good and nice of her. And then we went on to the meetup this week. So we kind of had a double play night on Tuesday night, and we watched Cowspiracy. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's very, very good. It talks about the impact of animal agriculture on the environment, and there's so much more water used in animal agriculture than there is with conventional farming to raise food for humans. You know, if we were to all eat grass-fed cows, we'd have to graze on the entire, you have to turn the entire, American continent into grazing land to be able to feed just to the Americans. So that's not sustainable. And it was really good for the meetup group, to actually, see the environmental aspects of, factory farming, and to get a look on just what, you know, it's not just our health, but it's the environment. And not only, you know, there's a lot of things on Facebook where, you know, the political parties ignore, environmental aspects, especially with the party in office. But, you know, so does the Sierra Club. So does, a lot of these other places that, again, they're political in nature. They get their money from sponsors that are from the dairy industry or from the meat industry. And they don't want to talk about it. So it has to be a ground, it has to be a bootstrap movement from us choosing to eat plants, fruits, vegetables, and choosing to eat organic. And when we vote with our dollars, things will change. You know, you do have more power when you vote with your dollar than when you vote with your pencil, because things will ultimately change. And, you know, you can see this yourself. If you go to the grocery store and you look at on the aisles with the almond milks, you know, there used to be just one that was, you know, by the cereal, and it was, now there are multiple, and then they're in the dairy case, and they're on the shelf where the cereals are, and there's cashew milk, and there's hemp milk, and there's almond milk, and there's coconut milk. There's a variety of, and companies that were dairy are getting into it, and the grocery stores are carrying almond-based yogurt and almond and coconut milk yogurt. And so, when you vote with your dollars, these things are readily available. You just have to be also be careful when you're voting with your dollars that you're not going to vote for junk food that's you know, made plant based. So you know, I think that we as a people have a lot of opportunity to be lighthouses, to vote with our dollars, and to eat healthy and set a good example, whether it be for our employees, whether it be for our companies, whether it be for our families, you know, we can set an example. And whether it be for the grocery stores that we have, if you ask grocery stores, you know, our local grocery stores, Publix, and if you ask them to get a product, they will. So if enough people ask them to get a product, then they'll start carrying it. They want to sell things. So, the more that, you know, you do these things, the more that will start to make an impact as a group of people. And everybody's, you know, can do their part and, you know, and take care of their little realm. There was a lady at the meetup that was worried that we were such a little group that when you went out that there was, you know, there was nobody supportive, and you know, everybody on the outside, so to speak, were doing the wrong thing. And it's like, well, you can't worry about that. If everybody in this room, if there were 30 people in the room and everybody goes out and they're a lighthouse for, you know, eating properly and eating, you know, wholesome and choosing wisely, then that'll spread. But it should spread through positive means, not negative means. So try to be supportive and put your good things out. You know, my last note, it was an Indian weekend for us as far as cooking. I did a chickpea coconut dish, and I did my favorite spinach palak with spinach that and tomatoes with the Indian spices and tofu. I made some naan bread with chickpea flour, and I used, instead of the yogurt, I used successfully the a combination of tofu, almond milk, and lemon juice and vinegar to make the, you know, the thickener, the binding agent for it, and had some flaxseed in it. It was really good. And actually, there was a mushroom and onion dish at the, so that was also good. We had a big vegetable soup this week. That was really good that we had a couple times. So those were some of our favorite dishes this week. So this week in class, it's going to be a soup. I always try to introduce the Instapot. I think we're going to do the carrot ginger potato soup. And I always introduce on the first class the greens. So we'll have a kale salad. Probably do the one with the lentils and the couscous. That's a really good salad. So that's my plan. So I hope you all have a good week. Get out and exercise. Push yourself a little bit outside your comfort zone. And email me with questions at jamiedulaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. Check out the website, drdulaney.com, drdulaney.com, for what's going on. And again, keep following us because there'll be some exciting things start to be available come July as far as online offerings. So I hope maybe you'll be able to partake in some of those. If you can't come to the nutrition class locally, if you can come to the nutrition class locally, love to have you. You don't have to be my patient. Six sessions, and we cook and eat and shop and do menu planning and support each other. We also have a meetup group in town. So check those out if you're around, or check out a meetup group in your town for support. And I'll see you next week.